How many of you dream? I do. Some do and some don't. How many of you remember your dreams? This is a song about a dream. I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. I saw, but then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Let's everybody please stand and turn to 467. 467. We'll sing all four verses, and as we sing, the children will be dismissed to Children's Church. 467.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm upward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismays. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the songs of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Amen. Caleb, that was a good job. God bless you. That's great. Memorizing over 90 scriptures. I asked him if he still knew them all. He said he didn't probably think so. Then Pastor Randy bent over and asked him if he could maybe quote just maybe 20 or 30 of them. And good job. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of work, and we appreciate that. Brother Steve, thank you for singing. Been able to be blessed by your strong voice for over 30 years now. Thank you. Well, today I'm going to go to meddling. I'm going to meddle in your life a little bit this morning, and but I'm going to do it in a nice way. This morning I want to talk about the subject of entertainment. It's been something that's been on my mind a while, and I finally decided to bring a message on it. I want to talk about entertainment control in our lives as Christians. We need to make sure that we are in control of our entertainment life and not our entertainment life in control of us. And we have to remember that we are blood-bought saints of God, and that we need to honor God in our lives in every area. And entertainment today, folks, plays a big part in just about everybody's life. We all have things that we enjoy doing. We all have things that are personally interesting, enjoyable, pleasurable to us that we like to engage in. Entertainment in America today, not only in America, but entertainment everywhere today is a big part of life. In fact, we have today what we call the entertainment industry. Entertainment plays such a big part in everybody's life today that we have the entertainment industry. It's a whole industry. It's a multifaceted industry. And it probably is, if the truth was known, is probably the biggest profit-making industry that there is, the entertainment industry. Anybody here not like to have fun? We all like to have fun. We all like to enjoy things. And when we all have particular things that bring personal enjoyment to us that we like doing, it can be anything from watching TV to sports to hobbies. It can be social media. It can be games. There's just endless forms of entertainment possibilities today. And every one of us are engaged in it to one extent or another. But as Christians, I think that we need to be careful. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, please. And I want to begin this morning in the book of Philippians in chapter 1. I want to look at a couple of passages to begin with. And then go from there. Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. These three verses here have meant a lot to me in my life. They have guided me and helped me in my life and helped me in my decision making. We all make decisions in every area of life. And one of the areas of life that we make decisions in is the area of entertainment. What kind of entertainment are we going to engage in, participate in? What kind of choices are we going to make in relationship to the entertainment facet of our life? And these verses have helped me in a lot of areas in making decisions in my life. Verse 9, please, of Philippians chapter 1. This is actually a prayer of the Apostle Paul, and this is what he is praying in behalf of the Philippians and by extension all of us. Verse 9, he says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." And so the Apostle says, I want your love to grow. I want your love to grow. And yet, notice what he says. He says, I want it to abound yet more and more, but in knowledge and in all judgment. In knowledge and judgment. Because you know, dear people, there are some things in life that we ought not to love. We need to know what is acceptable. We need to know what we ought to love. And we ought to know what is not acceptable. And we ought to know what we shouldn't love. Because we're not to love everything. Remember, the Bible tells us, for instance, love not the what? The world, neither the things that are in the world. So there are some things that are unacceptable. And so we are to use knowledge. We are to use knowledge. We are to have understanding and insight and judgment, discernment, in that which we allow into our lives, that which we put our approval upon, that which we participate in, and so forth. So we have to have knowledge and judgment in these areas. Now here's the reason, verse 10, that you might give your approval or your consent to things that are what? Excellent. So what the Apostle Paul is concerned about, that those things that we let into our lives, those things that we put our approval upon, those things that we deem as acceptable, that those things are excellent as far as God is concerned. God has the standard of excellence for you and I. This is not something that is to bring dismay into our life. This is not God making life miserable for us. This is God's way of protecting us and helping us and guiding us that we might use knowledge and discernment so that we don't bring things into our lives or get involved in things, participate in things that will be hurtful and damaging to us. This is a protection for us. God wants those things in our lives that will be the best for us, that will be excellent for us, that won't hurt us, that won't damage us. And of course, this is in every area of life, but certainly it's in our for our spiritual life. God wants things in our spiritual life that are the very best for us, so that He can bless us. And so that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. That we're not going to offend God, we're not going to offend anybody else by the things that we do until the day of Christ, that we might be blameless and so forth before the Lord. Being filled, overflowing with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So we've got to remember, as we think about entertainment in our lives, that entertainment is not just in a separate category all by itself and has no effect upon the rest of our lives. Entertainment is just one facet of our life. It's just one area of our life. And our life altogether has to be that which in the end glorifies and honors the Lord. And so we need to be careful about this thing we call entertainment today. Yeah, because we're all involved in it. I'm involved in it, and I know you are too. Take your Bible with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Very quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 21 with me. Verse 21. Verse 21. It says this, it says, prove all things. Prove all things. That word prove means to test. It means to put to the test. It means to examine. Examine. Think about them. Consider. And we need to do this, folks, with all things in our lives. We need to think about what we do. We need to think about what we bring into our lives, what we participate in. We need to think about these things, put them to the test. Prove all things. Now notice what it says, hold fast that which is what? Good. Hold fast to that which is good. What should we do to that we determine is not good? Don't bring it into your life. Don't get involved in it. Yeah, don't participate in that. Hold fast to that which is good. But in order to do that, we've got to be thinking people. We've got to put things to the test. We've got to consider them. We've got to look at them and examine them and make sure that we're not getting involved in something, that we're not participating in something that is, number one, not going to be pleasing to God, and that, number two, is not going to be good for us, especially spiritually, or maybe not good for somebody else. And so we need to think about these things. And when it comes to entertainment, this is an area that I think can get out of hand rather easily if we're not careful. And so we need to think about this area of our life. Now, I want to give us just quickly three guidelines this morning. And really, my intention is not to spend a whole lot of time on them. And so if I start going off, wave your hand at me, okay? Because I said to Pastor Randy this morning, I'm not going to have a long message this morning. And he just laughed at me. So, but really, seriously, my intention this morning is not to spend a lot of time on all of these things. First Peter chapter 2, very quickly. I want to give us three things to think about in the area of entertainment this morning. So the Bible tells us that we are to seek those things that are excellent. We are to approve those things that are excellent. We're to put things to the test. We're to think about these areas of our lives. And we're to hold fast to that which is good. And I want to give you three things to think about this morning in relationship to the things that you have in your life as entertainment. 1 Peter 2:11, notice what it says. It says, dearly beloved, and I address you this morning, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And let's not forget that, folks. This world is not our home. We're what? We're just a passing through. We are pilgrims and strangers. So we need to be careful not to get too attached to it. But anyway, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, notice this, abstain. Now, does anybody need a definition of abstain? Do you know what does abstain mean? It means don't do it. Keep from it. All right, stop. Abstain from what? Fleshly lusts. Fleshly lusts. Abstain from fulfilling the lusts and the desires and the passions of your carnal nature. Now, that should be a warning to us right away. Is the entertainment that we are involved in, does it stir up our carnal natures? Is our carnal nature responding to whatever this thing is? Is our flesh being, is it stirring up carnality in us? What do you mean by carnality? I mean ungodliness, immorality, evil thinking, ungodly behavior, getting involved in things that you know are displeasing to God. Allowing sin and evil into the life. Those are things that have to do with the flesh. You see? And the Bible says that we ought to abstain from those things because notice what happens, which war against the what? The soul. Dear people, listen, if you're born again this morning, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you belong to Christ, you're His, then we need to be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to get into that part of the entertainment world that is just plain, outright, ungodly, evil, and wicked. And I don't think that any real born-again Christian needs a lot of schooling on that because, number one, you have a quickened conscience. Number two, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why you have a quickened conscience. And when we go out and go places and start getting involved in things that may be the pleasures of sin for a season, but in our hearts and our minds, we know it's wrong, we know it's ungodly, we know it's not pleasing to the Lord, we know that it's a part of this world system, we know it's a part of the devil's system of things, it doesn't belong to God. And yet, for some reason, the temptation is there, and maybe you're away from home, maybe you're in some other part of the country, and maybe you're in some other city, the temptation is there, and the pleasures of sin raise up their ugly head, and you let yourself go and get involved in it. Now, dear people, listen. Anything that appeals to our carnality, anything that stirs up unbridled passions in us, anything that has to do with ungodliness and wickedness and all of that sort of thing, that just when you allow yourself to be tempted by those things and go into those things, it just wars against your own soul. Remember what the Bible says, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh. And these two things are contrary one to another. God has given you His Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. You are born again. You belong to Him. You're regenerated. And God is in your heart. And when you give in to the old flesh, the old ungodly flesh is there. And when you give into that, all there is a war going on. And if you give in to the flesh, it's going to hinder and damage and ruin your relationship with your Lord. And dear people, we just need to stay away from that kind of stuff. There's no reason for any of God's people to get involved in that kind of stuff. And I don't have to stand up here this morning and name things off one by one because I believe that everybody knows the kinds of things that I'm talking about this morning. And so that is just an area. Listen, that is just an area. The Bible says this in Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Did you hear that? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Just don't be tempted. Just don't set wickedness before your eyes. whether it is something out in the world, whether it's on a screen of some sort, no matter what it is, just don't set anything before your eyes that will tempt you into sin and ungodliness and immorality. Just don't let that be a part of your life. It shouldn't be if you're a Christian. And I'm going to change that scripture a little bit also. I'm going to say, don't set anything that's wicked before your ears. You know? Be careful about what you let go into your mind, whether it's music, whether it's teaching, whether it's whatever it is. Be careful of what you let go into your mind, because the mind is a very delicate and precious thing. And one thing about it, once something is in your mind, whether it goes in through your eyes or whether it goes in through your ears, I'm going to tell you something, it's going to stay there. It's going to stay there. So anyway, first of all, don't engage in any form of entertainment that's going to hinder or damage your spiritual relationship with the Lord. Just don't do it. Just say no. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, very quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. One more thing to guide us in our entertainment choices. Ephesians chapter 5, please read verses 15 and 16 with me. Notice what it says. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Circumspectly. That means be very cautious, be careful, be considerate, be thinking, be watchful, be aware, be alert. Walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, but as wise. So we're to live our lives. That word walk has to do with the way we live our life. Live your life thoughtfully and carefully and cautiously and alertly. Don't be foolish, spiritually dull. That's the idea behind this word fools or foolish. Don't be a spiritual dullard. Don't be spiritually indifferent or lethargic, but be careful, be wise as you live your life. Be spiritually wise. Use God's wisdom. And then notice what it says in verse 16. This is very important. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. The characterization of the world today is increasingly evil. Ungodly. Increasingly pushing God out of every area of life. You can see it. Society today, in every area of life, is just pushing God farther and farther and farther and farther out. Every area of life. And that includes the entertainment area. All you have to do is look at the standards today of television, look at the standards of the movies, look at the standards that come across on whatever screen you happen to be looking at the time. And you can see how society is pushing God farther and farther out. So we are told to redeem the time. Now, dear people, I want you to think of time as your life. Because that is what time is. Time is our life. And the Bible says that you and I ought to be very careful to redeem the time, redeem our life. In other words, let me just put it this way. You and I need to be careful that we do not spend too much time wasting our lives. And if we are not careful, and if I am not careful, I mean all of us, I'm preaching this message this morning to myself as well as to you. If we are not careful, you and I can... We can waste an awful lot of our life on things that really don't mean anything. I've got to catch myself with that. I don't have a whole lot left. You know, if you live to be 80 years old, you're going to live about 29,000 some odd days. I think right now I'm at about 25, 26,000. And that's if I live to be 80. Which I probably won't. I mean, it goes fast. Now, the Bible tells us that we ought to redeem the time, not waste it. not wasted. And so we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful about how we approach certain areas of our life. And certain one of those areas ought to be entertainment. Because if you're honest, and I try to be honest with myself, you can sure spend a lot of time doing some of these things that we call entertainment. Now, you all know that I like baseball. But don't think that I just spend every moment of my life watching a baseball game, because I don't. In fact, the baseball games that I do watch, I record them so that I can run through them in about a third of the time at night when everything else is done. Now, I enjoy baseball, but I do not let it consume my life. You see? There are things that we do enjoy, but we got to be careful that these things don't consume our life. And I'm going to, let me just say this. Listen, we have got to be careful today, especially that entertainment does not, our entertainment choices do not become addictive. I could pick out a number of things, but the one thing that comes to my mind today is this so-called social media thing. I'm going to tell you something. If you find yourself every day spending hours and hours on some form of social media, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. I'm going to tell you something. If you try to find me on Facebook, you're never going to find me. You're never going to find me. Now, I don't know much about it. I'm not saying it's all bad. I really don't know that much about it. But I know that, and I don't even know what you call half of these things. You know, this twittin' and tweetering and all of the rest of it. I honestly don't have a clue what that stuff is. The only electronic way you can get me is you can email me. I've got an email address. You can email me or you can phone me. And if you do that, make it short. But I tell you what, I don't understand people who spend hours and hours on this kind of stuff. I think people get addicted to it. Now, if you're engaged in something that is consuming your time and consuming your money and all the rest of it, if it's consuming you, and if you stop doing it, you start having withdrawal symptoms from it, you're addicted. You get me? And then you say, oh, I don't have any time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. Well, get off of your whatever it is you're on, your pod eye or whatever it is. You know, I'm serious. You know, I'm not saying that it's all wrong, it's all bad. I do know that an awful lot of, I do know a lot of people get in a lot of trouble through social media. I do know that there a lot of people obviously are not wise with what they do and how they use it. I know that for sure. Now, I'm kind of picking on social media, but it can be other things. You know, if you're on the computer hours and hours every day, and it's not your work, if it's just for your pleasure, there's something wrong with that. And pretty soon there's going to be something wrong with your eyes, too. So anyway, listen. What the Bible tells us here is that you and I need to walk circumspectly, not foolish. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life in some of these things that when we need refreshment, we need some enjoyment in our life. There's nothing wrong with that, but dear people, it can't consume our lives. It can't consume our lives. Our lives are designed by God to be useful and fruitful. Our lives are designed by God to have meaning to them. We need to be doing something that's meaningful, that will have some purpose to it and some meaningful result to it, some fruit to it. And we just can't be engaged in things that just waste our lives, that just use up our time. We don't have that much time. You say, well, I'm young. Well, you won't stay that way. Enjoy it while it's there, I guess, because it doesn't last very long. Before long, you're middle-aged. Then all of a sudden, you wake up one morning, look at the mirror, and you say, I'm old. Where did the years go? Well, the Bible says redeem the time. It says redeem the time. Don't spend it on playing games and computer games and video games and social media and watching television and all of these things that we tend to do that when it's all said and done, they don't do anything but give us momentary pleasure. So be careful about those things. And then one more thing here in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8 with me, please. Ephesians 5:8, very quickly. It says this, for ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Our nature was once darkness. That describes our spiritual nature before we were saved. We were under the powers and kingdom of darkness. Now in the Lord we have been made light. We have been given life and light, and we are in the realm of light in the Lord. So because of that, verse 8 again, we are to walk as children of light. We're to live our lives as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Spirit desires to produce in our lives as we walk in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You see, those are things that are acceptable to God. Things that are good, things that are righteous, things that are true. Proving or demonstrating or showing what is acceptable unto the Lord. These are the things that are acceptable unto the Lord, things that are good and righteous and truthful and wholesome and those kind of things. And then verse 7 says, have no fellowship. That word fellowship means joint participation. Don't get involved. Don't join up. Don't participate. Have no fellowship with what? The unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Live your life in such a way that you will be a light to the lost, that you will be a testimony to those who live in darkness, that you will shine and reflect the light and the life and the goodness and the righteousness of Christ into a world or a community where there is darkness. Goes on to say, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And the last thing I want to just mention this morning, folks, is this. Don't let your entertainment choices damage or ruin your testimony for Christ. Be careful about that. There are a lot of things that are open. And you can make choices. You can join in if you want. There are activities. There are places to go. There are things that you can go to and do and associations and what have you. That if you get involved with them, if you participate in them, you are in serious jeopardy of damaging your testimony for Christ. As a Christian, I cannot go some places that others can. I cannot do some things that others can do. I cannot associate in certain places that other people can associate in because I belong to the Lord. And if I were to go there and do those things and associate with those groups, then I would ruin my testimony for Jesus Christ. I would have no testimony. And so you need to be careful about entertainment choices that ask you to do things and go places and associate with certain groups. That will hinder and damage your testimony for Jesus Christ. And once again, I could name some things, but I'm going to let you use your own judgment on that. You need to ask yourself the question, can you participate and still be a light for Christ? If you were there in that situation and Pastor Randy walked in, I say Pastor Randy because I wouldn't be there. He wouldn't either, but I got to have an illustration here. If you were there doing what they do, what you're doing, and Pastor Randy walked in, would you be ashamed and embarrassed? Even moreover, if the Lord would physically walk in, would you be ashamed and embarrassed? Because I want you to remember that He is there. He is there. So if you choose as a part of your entertainment world to go places and do things and associate in groups and what have you that are not excellent, then you need to understand that you're ruining your testimony. You're ruining your testimony for Christ. And let me just say this also, one more thing. I promised I would be short, but you got me started late today. One more thing I want to say to this. I wanted to say this to your to the younger couples that are raising your children. You moms and dads who still have little kids at home, and you're raising your children, and you still have a lot of influence over your kids. You know, you really only have influence over your kids for a certain time. And what you parents need to be thoughtful about doing is this. You need to be helping your children when they're very young to begin to cultivate appetites that are appropriate for a Christian. Because your children, as they grow up, they will respond to their appetites. If they have an appetite for things of the world, then as they grow up, they're going to exercise that appetite. They're going to fulfill that appetite. And they're going to do it by participating in those things that please their appetites. You understand what I'm saying? And you need to be, when they're young, you need to be exposing them and getting them involved in things and helping them to build appetites for things that will satisfy them when they are older and at the same time please the Lord. And there are plenty of things. But if you allow them to build appetites for things that are not pleasing to God, if you allow them to build appetites for things that will be damaging and hurtful to them as they grow older, they will exercise those appetites. And unless God does something to change their appetites, they will not serve God well. Because their appetites will be worldly and ungodly. And so my counsel to you is help your children when they are young to build appetites that can be satisfied through wholesome good things, things that are good and righteous and truth. And when they are old, they will be satisfied. They won't have to have the world to make them happy. God bless you. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing a song as we close. Four hundred and sixty-three. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Let's sing this together. If anybody needs spiritual help, we invite you to come. We'll do what we can to help. If you want to just come and pray at the altar here, why, please do that also. If you're here today and you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, I'd be happy to go aside with you and show you out of the Bible how that you can know for certain that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. That's what Jesus came for, to die for us, that we might have life everlasting. So as we sing this, if God has spoken to your heart, why, you just do what he told you to do. We're going to sing a couple of stanzas, and then we will close the service. 463.
More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more
stanza three.
Then shall my latest breath this be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to
pray. Our Father, as we bow before you, I thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you have made provision for us in every area of life. And Father, I just pray that you would help each one of us to do those things in every area of our life that would please you. Lord, you have not forbidden us to have enjoyment. You have not forbidden us to have pleasure, to do things of interest. But, Father, you have told us that we need to be very careful and walk circumspectly, that we need to redeem the time, that we need to make sure that the things that we are involved in have to do with righteousness and goodness and truth. And so, Father, I pray that you would just bless us and help us to be the kind of people that we should be, to make the kind of choices in every area of our life that we should. And we would thank you for that. And, Lord, bless our children. God, help them to grow up healthy in every way. A healthy father spiritually, strong for Christ. Lord, I just pray that you would bless every parent that is raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of Christ. And so, Father, I just want to thank you and bless you for all your goodness to us. And if anybody here does not know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would open up their hearts, that you would take away the blindness, that you would give them understanding, that they may see how much you love them and they may see what Christ has done for them. We thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.